Good afternoon, Sean Harris here from Berean Baptist Church, looking at an article entitled Gay Couples to be Allowed Church Ceremonies in UK, written by Miles Collier, published by Christian Post. And so web article, and I want to take a look at what this is communicating to us here. Seems to be a significant issue going on in England with regard to the lifting of a ban on gay ceremonies in religious institutions in England. And so this ban is supposed to be removed on December 5th. And the Church of England has already voiced opposition to the idea of having gay ceremonies in their houses of worship. The article says the Church of England has stated it has no intention of hosting civil ceremonies within their churches. This is not going away. The issue of gay marriages in the church is not going away. We've got the same issue happening here in the United States, happening with regard to on military installations. Will chaplains be forced to marry gay people? Same problems occurring here. In this case, it looks like the Church of England or the Anglican Church is taking a great stand in voicing its opposition to these marriages. The article says it is estimated that 1,500 ceremonies would take place annually in the UK churches once the ban is lifted. Currently, there are approximately 5,500 civil ceremonies performed in the United Kingdom each year. Many gay or pro-gay religious sects have lobbied for the reading of hymns and other creeds within a house of worship during civil ceremonies. So the objective here is clear. Do everything you can to normalize the marrying of two gay individuals, sing hymns, read scripture, quote creeds. Do everything you can to make this abnormal behavior look as normal as possible. So the goal then is to make it happen in the same place where heterosexuals are married and to have priests and pastors marry gay people and to wear the same garb and to perform it in a church environment and to pray and to name the name of Jesus and to do everything you can to make this abnormal behavior appear as normal as possible. Again, the article says the Church of England has maintained its traditional biblical stance that the church does not bless same-sex couples. The article concludes with this final distinction. To take place within churches or to have marriages take place or civil unions take place within churches, the distinction between marriage and civil ceremonies would be blurred even further. Currently, civil ceremonies are entirely secular. And that's really the issue. Are we going to keep it? Are we going to keep it secular? Are we going to keep it outside of the church? Are we going to keep it outside the bounds of Christianity? Or are we going to allow this immoral and inappropriate and sinful behavior into the Church of Jesus Christ? Those on the pro letting it happen, lifting the ban policy in England, believe that we are making a step forward. Let me pause for a moment and give you six reasons why this is not a step forward. Six very quick reasons why this is not a step forward. Reason number one, there is a need for procreation, and only males and only females can produce the children a society needs for its prosperity. The fact of the matter is, Muslims are having children at an alarming rate. Christians are decreasing in their birth rate. When you combine Christians decreasing in their birth rate, more homosexual couples not being able to have children, you're going to have more Muslims having children, less Christians families having children, less secular people having children. And what happens is the birth rate in non-Muslim countries is reducing. The birth rate in Muslim countries is increasing. This is not a good thing. Bottom line, it's not a good thing. For America to be a strong society, we must have children. There's no way around that issue. We need to have a large populace of people working to provide for the needs of society. Reason number two, child development. Without a doubt, the best possible scenario for child rearing is a married mommy and a married daddy living together under the same roof, raising their biological descendants. That's just a fact. There's no question about that. Two males, two females living together, adopting a child does not in any way, shape, or form serve as a reasonable alternative to the appropriate child development that's found in a home where mom and dad love each other, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love their children like Christ loved the church. Reason number three, physical health. People in monogamous relationships, that is to say one male, one female living together, live longer than any other group on the planet. That's a fact. Reason number four, sexual purity. Sexual abstinence and purity sets a person apart as salt and light, which distinctively marks them different in the dark world that we're living in. A Christian gay couple is not salt, is not light. There's no way in the world that is. It's perceived as abnormal behavior. Nobody looks at that as distinct. They look at it as different in a negative sense, not a positive sense. Reason number five, sexual immorality is almost always accompanied by other sins of covetousness, a lack of gratitude, idolatry. Seldom ever is there a scenario where sexual immorality is a sin in and of itself. There's always a pulling together of multiple sins. Reason number six. This is a critical reason. It comes from Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 31 through 33. So let me turn and I'll share with you the text. Reason number six comes from Ephesians. A marriage of two males, a marriage of two females does not provide the appropriate picture of Christ and the church. Paul writes in Ephesians, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." One male leaving his father and mother, one female leaving his father and mother, the two, male and female, being joined together appropriately as one flesh. Verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." The fact of the matter is that Christ is presented as the bridegroom, the church is presented as the bride. In Scripture, the picture of a wedding is Christ and his church. You do not get that same picture when two males get married, two females get married. It does not communicate the same thing that we want communicated. We want every marriage ceremony in the church to remind us of the gospel. We want every single time a male and a female are married inside the church, within the body of Christ, within the local ecclesia, we want a picture to be put in our minds of Christ and the church. We want a gospel-centered reminder of this beautiful picture of the husband loving his wife, Christ loving the church, the blessedness, the sanctimony, the holiness of marriage when one male, one female who've kept themselves are united together in marriage. It's the perfect picture of the bride who's been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, being married to Christ. It's what we look forward to. It's the supper that we look forward to in the future. It's the eternal union of Christ and his church. This is lost completely when a male and a female, a male and a male, or a female and a female try to present something similar under some slightly variance there. The picture that God joining Adam and Eve as the picture of Christ in the church is completely lost. And so these are six reasons why every born-again Christian must applaud the Church of England for continuing to take a hard stand and must remain committed in their local assembly that marriages outside civil unions can never be brought into the church, and that the church must take a hard stand on only males, only females can be married. We should vote that way. We should think that way. And if you're in a church that's not taking a hard stand like that, you need to leave that church and find another one that is.